Whoa, Henry, you're looking pretty fly.
Thanks, man. A lot of the chicks and guys I know were saying the same thing earlier.
Isn't that right, Mike? Look at him. He looks amazing.
He looks like a cool dude. Keeping it fresh, walking along the promenade. It looks like he could be wearing roller skates, but he isn't. He's just cool enough without him.
I'm turning heads these days, whereas before I was turning stomachs.
What's your secret, Henry?
Where did you get those sweet gums from?
Assume by gums you're referring to these threads. Well, these hot new threads that I'm wearing, I got them down the sweet little three-bean salad merchandising store.
Whoa, I've heard about this. Is that threebeansaladshop.com?
That's the exact same one. It's got T-shirts, which we call tees. It's got mugs, which we call me's. And it's got badges, which... No, it doesn't.
There's no badges.
Doesn't have badges.
Oh, and look, under your arm, I thought that was a skateboard because you're so cool, but it's not. It's actually a jigsaw.
That's right. There's a jigsaw on it, which we call a jigsaw. And it's a jigsaw based on one of the artworks that the incredibly talented, I think he's called Henry Pacur, does. I hope I get to meet him one day.
You can also buy artwork by Henry from this shop, can't you?
Yeah, there's also artwork which you can buy. Nice square prints. Mm-hmm. But there's a range of T-shirts with different like things with the Three Bean logo and sort of different bits and bobs, isn't there? There's a crab bell T-shirt.
There's also, you can buy a single sticker.
You can buy a single sticker.
Anyway, that's the shop. Threebeansaladshop.com.
Get yourselves down there.
Three Bean merch for all the family.
Hang on, I'm just starting my backup recording.
I didn't do a backup.
You don't do a backup, do you?
Well, it's the risk that keeps me fresh. It's the sense of danger. It's like...
Yes, but it's only Ben and myself that experience any of the anxiety associated with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I transfer the anxiety. Mm-hmm. I'm like a high wire artist.
Who's pushing his assistant out onto the wire. From the top of the tower block.
He's pushing his assistant and her brother onto the wire on special roller skates where the wheels are at right angles to the direction of the shoe.
Crab skates.
Crab skates.
This year's Christmas bonanza hit.
I mean, I think it's what the West End needs, isn't it?
A sideways production of Starlight Express.
Exactly. An askance take on Starlight Express, where the whole thing is a conceit, which is imagine what was happening behind the scenes during Starlight Express. So the audience looks at the stage as if from the wings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
So sort of stage manager's POV experience.
They get stage manager's POV. Or actually, another take on it is the whole audience is on the stage looking into the wings, so they're seeing what's going on behind the stage. So they're actually getting a... So that's why you need the sideways roller skates.
So what's that? Fire extinguisher POV? What's that?
Safety bucket POV.
I wonder if people know that Starlight Express is a musical set in...
Well, it was a musical.
It's coming back.
Is it?
This year or next year, yeah.
Blimey. Shall we all audition?
Mike, you've had your audition. Don't pretend.
Look at Mike.
Look at bashfully. Oh, shall we audition?
So bashful.
I am electric. Feel my.
Great stuff. If you've seen a middle-aged man on his roller skates going around the Exeter area
in a tight silver unitard.
Yeah. He wasn't auditioning for the new John Lewis ad.
But he is working. That is work.
You must have been quite the. I imagine. A, talk of the town in Exeter every morning, going around in his silver unitard on your roller skates in the crab position, so sideways skates.
Well, you would think, but there's a lot of it about these days.
Yes.
In true. Exeter.
What, people auditioning for Starlight Express?
A lot of people on, it's inliners on the whole is what you tend to see, sideways inliners. Most people don't bother with the unitard, but they will wrap themselves in, you know, baking foil.
Well, it's make do and mend, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There'll be a little bits of jam on the baking foil. And, yeah. You know, but we don't criticise that sort of thing.
And that's one of the wonderful things about the Exeter spirit, isn't it? It's that make do and mend mentality, which is, if you can't do it with jam, why are we even having this conversation, isn't it? That's one
of what it says on the flag.
The jam flag.
The only flag in the world actually made out of jam.
It's boiling hot and impossible to insure. But another wonderful thing about Exeter, I imagine, is very quickly, Mike, you become part of the daily routine, don't you? The fishmonger, you know, his morning hasn't got going until he's seen you whiz past.
He sets his clock by it.
Yeah, and he'll chuck you a handful of scallops or whatever. As he whizzed past.
Into Mike's mouth.
He sees the silver of my unitard reflecting in the silver of a glossy mackerel that he's just hosed down to make it look fresher than it really is.
Yeah.
And then he tosses me the scallops and we bid adieu for the day.
You know, show me a mackerel that you can't...
You can't hose off.
You can't hose off for at least 3 to 4 months.
Before you get to the Vaseline stage.
You're not running a respectable fishmonger's.
Well, it's all about the glossiness of the eyes, isn't it, with a fish? So yes. With a mackerel, of course, you can hose it for a bit. The eyes will have keep a certain amount of life in them.
Yeah.
But after a week or so, you are having to replace those eyes with fresh pig eyes. That's the old trick, isn't it?
And they will pop. A pig's eyes in a mackerel will, it draws in the punters.
They pop, don't they? Mm. Because, of course, a pig is the third most intelligent animal. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's one of the only animals that can have a quizzical expression, isn't it?
that also it retains its quizzicalness after death.
It retains the quizzicalness for a good sort of year, doesn't it? And of course, the human being interprets the universe, the world around it, through eyes. Mm-hmm. And where there aren't eyes, we will see eyes, e.g. the front of a car. Doesn't have eyes, but it seems to have eyes, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? Knobs on things, buttons, they all become eyes because we have to faceify something before we can emotionally interact with it. So, therefore, ipso facto.
QE pig.
Yeah, it all follows. Of course, when times are tough for fishmongers, it's obviously sad when this has to happen, but, you know.
When the fish all swim south for the winter.
When the fish all swim south of the winter, it's a horrible sight to see, but you'll see fishmongers using really, really, really old fish. So fish that they've actually just been using to insulate the shop. They'll get that stuff out. Mm-hmm. And you'll actually see sometimes a fishmonger's son or a fishmonger's daughter will be asked to go under the fish table, poke their head up, and then have a tuna, have a hollowed out tuna head then put onto them like a sort of helmet, mm-hmm. which they wear, and then they sort of jiggled around so their eye holes line up, and you've actually got live human eyes sometimes in some of those fish. It's what you do, what you have to do, don't you?
It's going to bring punters in, isn't it? Everyone's going to order slice for the Christmas tuna, you know.
Exactly,
and also that's why Mike's useful to the fishmonger at this time of year, because what can happen is Mike goes past sideways on his motor skates in his silver unitard, and the fishmonger can go, "God, look at that." And while everyone's looking at Mike, quickly his son or daughter is putting their head up through the bottom of the fish table and the head goes on. And people don't notice. People don't see it happen.
Yeah. But that's how a community works.
that's how a community works. Everyone has their part to play, don't they? And then, of course, the customer says, "Oh, I'd love that. That tuna's so fresh, it's winking at me. That tuna's so fresh, it seems to be crying.
That massive tuna that seems to be doing some geography homework. Can I have that one, please?"
Is that tuna vaping?
Yeah, sorry, that tuna's got to go for its saxophone lesson in 15 minutes, so I can't tell you that.
I thought sushi was fresh, but I've never seen a tuna filling out its UCAS form. I'll have that one.
And good luck with Reading University.
And then, of course, the fishmonger is in a very, very difficult place there, because then they have to make the decision. Well,
do they carve their son or daughter up?
do they behead their firstborn? Or, and this is, again, the community comes together. Or, hang on a minute, Miss Madam. What's that? Oh, the silver rolling crab middle-aged man. He's come back, and Mike's rolling back down the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Creates a second distraction.
Yeah.
And meantime, the child is swapped out, is shoved into the display lobster, and the actual tuna is just stuffed with bits of newspaper and stuff, and that's sold to the customer. The fishmonger, of course, then has to move town. So it's
but it's a system, and you've got to have a system.
It's a system. You've got to have a system.
Can I suggest we start this new series with Little Pompidou?
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, go for it.
So as this is a Pompidou, normally we'd play the Pompidou jingle that I made, but someone has sent one in.
Ooh.
This is from Arthur Tattersall.
Thank you, Arthur.
Please find enclosed my brand spanking new, booming, grotesque, and quite brutal, very, very, very boring, bad, and faux humble, new metal style Pompidou theme. I call it French Tubes.
Okay.
Wow, there's a lot going on with
quite
that
a lot to get your head around there, isn't there?
Maybe we just need to have a listen.
What stood out to me was new metal, one of the worst genres ever created.
That's new, N-U.
N-U.
New metal.
What does that mean?
It's the kind of rap rock stuff that was loomed large in my youth.
Okay.
Your Korns.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
Limp Bizkit.
I didn't realize that had the word new attached to it somehow. I didn't miss that detail.
I often think about how previous generations got to grow up where the music of the day was the Beatles.
Still lauded generations later.
Or, 1970s, you could have been growing up with the Sex Pistols and all that excitement.
Yeah.
And I got...
For me, my heaven, 17th century Bach. Can you imagine? Just to have been a teenager.
Hanging around Leipzig time. Cathedral.
Yeah.
In the mosh pit.
Yeah. That would have been, for me, that would have been amazing, yeah.
Yeah, but I got new metal.
You got new metal?
There's nothing good about it.
A sort of brief and rubbish genre.
Anyway, let's see how Arthur has weaved that genre into the Pompidou theme.
Yes, please.
Here is our brand spanking new, booming, grotesque, quite brutal, very, 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 very boring, bad, and so humble, new metal style Pompidou theme. Tubes holding a series of tubes. This kind of thing. Believe you me, I know a killer jingle when I hear it, and I can tell you that wasn't one. In fact, I'm rather tempted to have you assassinated.
Ooh.
Very good. Was that featuring AI Henry?
Henry, deepfake Henry.
They John Lennon'd you, I think.
They Lennon'd me.
Yeah. I think you must have actually said those words at
I
some point.
I must have said those words. That was pretty good, actually.
It was good. I mean, it brought back all that's wrong with new metal. I'd forgotten the heavy use of DJ turntablists.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
A really gross kind of thing they used to do. And also that bass sound, which is very new metal. It's kind of just, there's something gross about it that I can't really put my finger on.
But good work, Arthur. Thank you.
I mean, fantastic work by Arthur. Fantastic. Very, very good.
Yeah.
And were this 2002, I would have been going insane for it.
You'd be wearing a t-shirt with a longer sleeved shirt underneath it, wouldn't you?
That's right.
And heading with a bag of 90s crisps in your arm, under your arm.
No, I'd have been very much in my S Club phase at that point.
Yeah, which is being in the band S Club.
As their S Club number 8, the number 8 shirt.
The silent partner.
Out in the wings, understudying, ready to go at the drop of a hat.
I mean, and you could understudy for any of those.
Oh,
seven.
Yeah.
The fake boobs, the wigs, the moustache concealer
the pop
kit.
The pop socks.
You had the thigh expanders. You had you had five different sets of calf muscles, didn't you, that you could swap in and out. You were ready to go. You were a one man S Club 7, weren't you, in the pub scene.
Well, that's how I made a living for a while. Yeah, until they found out and I got the old cease and desist.
But luckily, you hadn't declared any of that income, with all cash in hand, so they could not touch you beyond the custodial sentence.
That £17.50 is all mine.
So how does that work, the one-man S Club 7? There's the conceit that at any one time, the other six members of S Club 7 are going to the toilet.
and then one is left on stage.
That one's Mike. Yeah, that's always the way. Also, you know the way, although because Mike technically played all of them, so Mike's income was declared as a seven within seven identities. What it meant was, you know the way that the people that invented Coca-Cola can't go on the same plane?
I can't go on the same plane either as myself or with the Coca-Cola people either.
So that's been difficult, hasn't it?
There's seven sets of income tax to pay every year as well, which is really I am feeling the pinch of it now.
And but of course, on the plus side, depositing the money into seven different pensions as well, isn't it? You're depositing money into, so.
Yeah, seven state pensions should almost be just about enough to live off by the time we retire.
Yes.
I'm not sure about that, Mike. I mean, what with inflation as it is. Although, given the triple lock, actually pensions are a lot better off than the rest of us at the moment.
A lot of us don't have pensions because we're freelance.
I haven't got around to it. Source of anxiety.
I'm running out of time to be honest.
I hadn't brought it up, actually, now that I think about it.
Basically, pension is one of my trigger words. I'm currently experiencing a panic attack, but luckily I've developed my neck muscles to a degree whereby my face can still keep saying things to cover the fact that
your body's in crisis.
My body's in crisis. I've actually passed out.
Yeah. But luckily, in lieu of a pension, you can always just run as hard as you can into a brick wall.
Although these days, Mike, with the ruddy new bills they're throwing up, the brick wall would fall over before you did. So this Pompidou, one thing I've noticed is that I find myself quite a lot worrying whether people outside of the UK understand what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I have an internationalist outlook.
You do?
Yeah.
You know, for me, every British listener, you know, we're thankful for every listener, but they mean nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I caught the international ear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why you're on the team in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of your global reach.
Yeah. It's not just people outside of this country. It's the diplomatic class of those countries as well. Yeah. So foreign secretaries, home secretaries.
Yeah.
Madeleine Albright, if she's still alive.
Yeah.
Condoleezza Rice.
International tobacco industry lobbyists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All of these people.
Yeah.
And Jeff Capes.
He's definitely dead, I think.
And the late wrestler, Jeff Capes.
Well, late wrestler Jeff Capes, he's the one that you... Because you get so tired, don't you, to all these diplomatic functions that you attend.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen anyone suffer from canapé boredom like you have. It's almost impossible to excite you with a canapé, isn't it? You literally have seen it all.
Are you able to say no to a vol-au-vent? You may be suffering from canapé fatigue.
What you have to do is... I've seen a doctor about this. When you've got canapé fatigue, obviously what you've done is you spent too much time eating miniature versions of other foods.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to eat huge versions of those foods for a while just to balance yourself back out. So
mega foods.
Yeah. It's been really hard.
Absolutely massive prawn on a javelin, for example.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I've been through that process and I'm kind of leveling out, which is nice. But so yeah, I spend a lot of time worrying that people don't know what we're talking about.
Mm. Yeah.
So I often find myself in the podcast sort of going, oh, well, just in case people don't know what, Pauline Quirk is, you know.
Yeah, and the answer to the question of what Pauline Quirk is she is a...
A state of mind.
She's a state of mind, isn't she? Yeah. She's a way of looking at things that one can arrive at. But it takes a lot of work, and you have to have been in Birds of a Feather.
And again, Birds of a Feather, to explain to our foreign listeners, is a kind of, it's an accord that you come to with the universe around you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's
also a sitcom.
It's almost a sense of compromise with existence, isn't it?
But a happy compromise, I think.
Yeah.
Like a peaceful compromise.
Yeah.
One that you didn't want to make. When you've made it, you realize, yes.
Yes.
Balance has been restored.
Balance has been restored. But in a way which has aged quite badly, I think.
Also, a sitcom in which the main characters are women whose husbands have gone to prison.
And that, yeah.
Yeah.
Leaving them with a bawdy, ribald...
Brassy.
Brassy. Perky. Cheeky.
Intrusive.
Yes.
Intrusive neighbour.
Played by Leslie Joseph.
Indeed.
Anyway, what I've done is, in trying to explain to people
our references across the world. We've actually made it much more confusing by talking in depth about birds of a feather, which isn't that helpful. But I think what I was getting at is I wonder whether this is time for a jingle, you know, just to create a sort of little section when this comes up, just to say, sorry, we understand you may not understand what this is.
That's a good idea. Before we do that, can I kind of quickly go off on a tangent, which is that, not a tangent, but Pauline Quirk. Pauline Quirk trained as a young woman.
Yeah, you can't just be a young woman. Not in her generation. You had to train, didn't you?
You had to train. Yeah.
It took years.
Well, being a young woman only really was invented by the Victorians, wasn't it? up until then, it was child to crone instantly. Wasn't it? She trained as an actor as a young woman in a place called the Anna Scher Theatre. Now, Anna Scher very sadly passed away recently. It was in the news.
Hmm.
Have you heard of this?
No.
Oh, she ran a youth theatre in Islington. Anna Scher.
Okay.
It was called the Anna Scher Theatre. It was for young, talented children. Wannabe actors and so on.
Oh.
Maybe it was quite big in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. Oh, I knew someone who grew up in Islington around that time. So it just came back to me that I actually I attended the Anna Scher Academy as well, briefly.
Did you?
Yeah.
You were in the academy?
Anyone could be in it.
Any jump?
I was before Quirks.
You were before Quirks time.
sorry.
Time traveling child actor.
I was after Quirk's time, but it was lots of famous people have come through there.
Who's in the alumnus list then? Let's have a couple of heavy hitters.
As I'm looking hugely at names, I haven't heard any of them. David Ajala, John Elford, Lorena Andrea, and Gary Beadle. Tiana Benjamin, Glenn Berry.
So I think heard of Tiana Benjamin. I think she I'm thinking of Lucy Benjamin, who's in EastEnders, sorry.
All right. Well, Pauline Quirk. Here we go. Gary Kemp, Martin Kemp.
The Kemps.
Sorry, Ben, I've reacted to your issue by creating the most abstruse, obscure, reference-heavy chat we've ever had.
Surely, internationally, people know who the Kemps are.
They must know who the Kemps are. Dexter Fletcher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Samantha Fox.
Well.
Blimey. Wikipedia still does have some issues. It's issuey, isn't it? So I'm not.
Do you mean because you're not on the list?
It's issuey, isn't it? Wikipedia. It's still.
Is that what you mean? Because for some reason you're not listed in the list.
I think
list
it's
glorious.
It's
graduates.
It's still finding its feet, isn't it? Wikipedia. They Sid Owen.
Yeah, he was in EastEnders.
Yeah.
He picked
Patsy
Ricky. Patsy Palmer.
There's a few household names in the mix there, Henry.
Joe Swash.
It's quite EastEnders heavy then.
It's basically a feeder. It's a feeder club for EastEnders.
Yeah.
If it was a football club. And EastEnders was a football club.
So it's sort of grassroots soap opera stuff.
It's grassroots soap opera stuff. I was at Anna Show and my friend, me and my friend, I'm going to call Zadok.
Because you used to hang out with ancient priests, didn't you?
Yeah, back in those days. Me and Zadok, we both went along.
Mm.
Now, you just know when you've got it. I mean, I knew I had something. So we were talking about the age of probably like 10.
Mm-hmm.
Zadok was more into football and stuff. He wasn't really, he didn't have it. Nice guy, of course. But anyway, but me and Zadok went along. I remember... We had to do an improvisation. I did what still to this day my blood runs cold when I think about how bad this improvisation was that we did, right? So we had a little bit of time to create it, me and Zadok.
Yeah.
So we had a few minutes and I was like, okay, it's got to be funny.
So it should probably be a reggae pastiche of something.
I tell you what, I did actually live around the corner from Bernie Grant. No, Eddie Grant. He did Electric Avenue at the time. I'm just trying to load this up with as many references as I can.
Specific references as possible.
Basically, the punchline of this sketch, which I did in front of the whole school, was gathered. You know, everyone was to watch your little bit you had to do. I had come up with this idea, and I remember just that the punchline was, all I remember was that the punchline was, you don't realize. Because basically the sketch was, the key dramatic thing in the sketch was someone had to go to the toilet.
Very good. Yeah. Strong start. Universal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The punchline was, no, you didn't understand. I don't need to go for a wee. I need to go for a poo. That was the punchline. But I can't remember. I can't remember what the setup was, but all I remember is there was no justification for that punchline, in the sense that, you know, all I'd established was that the character needed to go to the toilet. There'd be no.
You thought the word poo would be.
Well, I thought you got to end it on the funniest word you know.
And what was the reaction like from the assembled?
Really, really poor. Really, really weak. I was basically looking at the entire cast of EastEnders in 10 years' time, scowling at me.
And those guys can scowl.
Those guys can scowl.
That's where they train them to do it.
But, so I remember, you know, I'd let us down a bit pissed off, a bit of a shame. Imagine how pissed off I was a month later, sitting with my family, watching a TV drama about the Falklands War. Who's that on the next to his dad on the sofa, having a chat about the Falklands? Fucking Zadok. Hello?
Hang on, was this a documentary? You were annoyed that...
Which sofa? In the same room? Next to you watching the telly? You watching the telly with Zadok and his dad, or they're on the telly?
It's like my sketch that didn't work all over again. It's happening again. I mean, exactly this.
Did Zadok do your wee or poo punchline in a Falklands documentary on television?
But a fictionalised one.
Oh, God, I've learnt nothing. No, the point I was trying to make was he ended up being cast in a drama about the Falklands.
Right.
He was on telly.
So do you think potentially that the casting director of that drama watched you do your sketch and cross your name out?
It's possible. I don't know. But all I know is Zadok ended up being in a TV show. I think one of the reasons that story's confusing is a few, but one of them is...
Delivery.
Delivery.
The mention of Eddie Grant for no reason was quite confusing. Especially because you called him Bernie Grant. So that...
Bernie Grant's an MP, or was an MP.
It was replete with red herrings, wasn't it? Yeah.
There was MacGuffins upon MacGuffins.
But
as a piece of misdirection, it was
exceptional.
Yeah. Kaiser Soze levels.
Yeah. But I've got you all to look in the wrong direction. But now that you're looking back in the right direction, I haven't, you know, pulled a dove out of a box. I've shot myself. And the dove's attacked a member of the audience. And it's not a dove. It's a very, very, very hungry raccoon. Now, so one of the reasons this story is confusing is that, one of the other reasons is, the end of this story is me on a sofa watching TV. But I think the scene he was in was Zadok and his dad watching TV. So that's another element that's confusing about it, because I was watching TV, and within the TV show, he was watching TV. Mm. But it was something to do with the Falklands.
And he was playing General Galtieri.
But I think you've underscored Ben's point rather nicely, really.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance, isn't there, that the whole podcast ends up sort of turning into an explainer.
Yes.
Which we don't want to get into. But I wonder whether a jingle and that
sort of parochial bean explainer.
Yeah. Jingle. I wanted to bring it up because I want you, like in the early days of the podcast, it'd be quite good if you could both suggest a genre. I can't think of what this should be like, basically. So if you could give me some genres and I'll...
Are you interested in K-pop at all?
Ooh, I think that might be hard to achieve. Yeah. But I'm happy to feed that in.
In that case, should it be fitting should it be sort of nationalistic in some way?
But with a K-pop edge?
Yeah, should it be, you know, if it's local to the UK, should it be like a, you know, Welsh male voice choir does K-pop?
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. with a shanty underpinning.
That's my week. Okay, well, those are all good thoughts. I may not be able to hit all of those touchstones, but okay. I'm going to put it in that world.
But give it a go, and also make it cubist. Okay.
The world's first cubist music. I'll give it a go. Okay, cool. Well, you can have that next week. Now, I've got some big news.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Changes are afoot.
Ooh. Is there going to be a bean reshuffle?
There are changes afoot regarding the bean machine.
This does sound huge.
Now, obviously, the bean machine was originally forged in the heat of the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
And it's been around for a long time, but it's been wholly mechanical that entire time.
Yeah, so we're talking pistons, we're talking grease.
Sprockets, spigots.
There's an entire goose farm, isn't there? Just providing the fat to oil. Like, that's literally just the sprockets, isn't it? Like, there's a separate... There's an entire family of geese that have been providing oil
the
for goose sprockets.
It's the size of Shropshire, isn't it? It's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. 1,000 geese rendered a day.
Yeah. That's the promise that you make, isn't it, to yourself? Yeah.
And what I want to say is that the changes that are coming in do not affect that. In fact, we actually need more geese.
Okay.
Anyway, but the basic point is the system up until now is that people have emailed our email address, 3beansaladpod@gmail.com, saying, can this go in the bean machine? A bit of a pompadour here. Sometimes I just forget put them in the bean machine / put them in the spreadsheet.
And it's not your fault because you're having to write so many letters of condolence to geese and geese's families, aren't you? So much of the time. We can't expect you to be on top of everything. Yeah.
No. So I've automated the process is what I'm saying.
Now
there is a website you can go to, and at that website you can submit topics for the bean machine. So you no longer need to email us.
Wow.
You can do it in an automated way. It'll go straight through the system into the bean machine itself.
Yeah.
Into the central cortex.
I have absolutely no idea what that means. I love that.
So at the bean machine end, it would be automatically something somewhere, some 3D printer is automatically sort of chiseling out the oaken cube that you need with the information to be deposited within the marsupial information sack.
Oh, that's clear. Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
I was, So do you still have the feature where you can... If you can twist your scrotum round like loads and loads of times in a row, then let go, and a sort of seaside music emanates from you. Does that still happen?
You've got to put the word scrotum in quotation marks, really, because
I was.
It's not a scrotum as you would understand it.
Well, it's geographically where the scrotum might have been once, plausibly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's made of 10 dried bull scrotums sewn together,
encased in a brass. In a brass cube.
Yeah. And it's full of frog spawn. Yeah. So. Yeah. But yeah, no, everything about the mechanical part of the machine is exactly the same as it always has been.
It's very carefully preserved.
Yeah. Isn't it? It's just that the way that we input new information into the bean machine has changed. So
at the listener's end, how do they get to that interface?
Well, I've made a jingle which tells them the URL.
Oh, nice one.
So I got a new URL for this.
Oh, lovely.
It's quite a long jingle. Well, I realise it's a bit long.
Yes, please.
That's right. Enter the bean machine dot boats.
Dot boats.
Is it dot boats?
www.enterthebeanmachine.boats.
So this is because you've legally had to register the bean machine as a frigate, haven't you?
In international waters. Right.
It's
an unarmed frigate in international waters.
It's an unarmed frigate. And is that's for insurance purposes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, lovely work. Thank you, Ben.
Big fan of that.
Yeah, so if you go to enterthebeammachine.boats, from there you can submit topics, which will go into the Beam Machine, and they'll go straight in. And basically, in the past, there was a room for human error, basically, in the past. And boy, did human error take place.
On this show.
So from a sort of user standpoint, what does this actually mean?
Oh, Ben's just explained all of that.
Yeah. So snip that out and stick it in before Ben does his explaining. That'll add it together. That'll come up nice. That'll add it together right lovely.
What I will say is all the things that have been submitted so far in the past couple of years, they will be migrated into the new system, so don't worry about that. But yeah, this might be the last one that was ever sort of hand-cranked.
Crank it up, baby.
Quite a poignant moment.
It's a real get-the-bunting-out cream cakes kind of moment, isn't it? Little Union Jack flags. It's like, yeah, we're proud of our heritage, but we're also moving forward. is it that?
Yeah, and get ready for the backlash, I think.
get ready for the hot backlash.
So the Beam Machine has been hand-cranked its last.
Golly.
Wow. What a moment.
And this week's topic, as sent in by Samuel.
Thank you, Samuel.
Is assassinations.
Ooh. Golly. Samuel.
Blimey.
Pretty grisly stuff.
Oof. Yeah.
That is grisly.
Mike, you've ever assassinated anyone?
Only their character with my swinging satirical stats.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Stand up. Yeah. Damn it. Where's my weapons? No.
Beware the elegant grace of Mike's stiletto wit as it skewers yet another pundit to the floor of the National. I suppose you know you've made it, haven't you, when you've been assassinated?
Oh, it's a warm feeling.
Yeah. To know that it's been reported as an assassination and not just as a murder.
Yeah.
Because you can only murder me currently. you can't assassinate
no,
me.
No, it wouldn't be an assassination. You haven't climbed the ranks, of a crime organisation or political elite or... No.
So if I got a hitman to do Henry...
Or woman
to do Henry, that wouldn't be an assassination.
That's an interesting grey area. If it was an assassin that was doing him in... Is that an assassination or is it, yeah?
I do vote. So I am part of the political process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would your death have ramifications?
That's a big word, isn't it? Ramifications.
You know, to the level of perhaps leading to the outbreak of a gang war.
Civil unrest.
A border dispute. It's a stretch, isn't it? It's hard to think of a scenario where that would be the case. But how bloodthirsty is the book illustration scene at the moment? Because your star is beginning to rise. You've got a book out with Joe Wilkinson at the moment. It's out. You're hot to trot.
Yeah.
You're in the scene. Yeah. You're part of the conversation.
What's it called again?
It's called My Autobiography by Joe Wilkinson, illustrated by me. Yeah, and I mean, obviously that makes me a target, as does the other book I've got out at the moment, Kay's Incredible Inventions, written by Adam Kay, which is more of a kids' book.
So you've got two targets on your back.
I've got two targets on my back.
Well, one on the back, one on the front, like a sandwich target.
And I think all eyes would turn to Quentin Blake.
Yeah.
Well, he's the only illustrator with the power and the spite to do something like that. I mean, the thing is with illustration is it's Dead Men's right-hand gloves.
Okay.
Isn't it?
What's that mean?
Oh, it's Dead Men's pens. It's Dead Men's pens.
What do you mean?
It's Dead Men's pens. It's like I said, it's Dead Man's shoes. You know, it's Dead Man's shoes.
But I don't know what that means.
So it's Dead Man's shoes. Do you know what it means now? No, like if a job, you can only get the person's job once they die. Dead Man's shoes.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's Dead Men's pens with illustration. So you do have a target on your back. Luckily, I'm an illustrator, so I've actually drawn a target on my back, but avoiding all the vital organs. So you can use tactics like that. I still don't leave the house without a fake head.
You've got a decoy Henry in a decoy flat.
I've got a decoy Henry in a decoy flat, who cost me a bloody fortune. He actually earns more than I do. but that's a...
Well, that's because you have got Derek Jacobi.
I've got Derek Jacobi. He's the only man who could carry it off. And he's giving an absolutely wonderful decoy Henry at the moment. He really is. And it's such a shame that a lot of that work isn't noticed, because no one knows which one he is, or whether he's even this one right here, right now. He might be.
We might be podcasting with Derek Jacobi, Mike.
Mm.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Extraordinary.
Well, it's the safest way.
But yes, no, Quinton Blake. People often wonder how it is he mastered that style where you know, his line is so loose and sort of it's so almost messy but so expressive.
Yeah,
because his hand is still jiggling from all the machine gunning he does all day. He never has a still hand because he's taking down illustrator after illustrator after illustrator. You want to illustrate a Roald Dahl book? Yeah. Well, good luck, you fucking dead bastard. That's one of his lines.
Yeah, he's not so good with words, is he?
He's not so good. That's why he's an illustrator. That's literally why he's an illustrator, Mike. Yeah. Yeah, you think you can illustrate an educational pop-up book, do you? Yeah? Well, good luck popping up when I've popped this cap in your ass. Poof! That's one of his lines.
Yeah.
It's not bad. That's actually quite good, that one.
Yeah.
That was quite good. I enjoyed the rare use of the word poof for gunshot as well.
Yeah, that's good.
That's nice. Sounded like maybe a silencer was involved or something. It was nice. Or through a pillow.
That's his style.
Yeah.
Through a copy of The Giraffe, The Pelly and Me.
Mr. Magnolia's boots. Mr. Magnolia's shoots you.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of his books.
The Tiger Who Came to Kill.
I don't think he'd illustrated that,
he
Mike.
He didn't illustrate that.
For God's sake.
No, he didn't. It's true.
I'm going to make a confession here. So I've been doing some book sort of signings with Adam Kay for the children's book, where we go into a children's bookshop, we sit there, or the children's section of a bookshop, and kids come in and bring their books and we sign them, and I draw a little picture. And I've been saying to the kids, I'll draw an animal for you, any animal you want.
Yeah.
But please, can it be crab? Because that's the only animal I can dependably draw quickly.
And how many of them choose crab?
Not that many of them choose crab. And I've been having a bit of a problem, which is that they all want tigers.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And tigers are really hard to draw for me. I don't know how to draw tigers. Because you just sort of draw a cat with stripes, but it just looks like a stripy cat. It's quite hard to I don't know. I'm not good at drawing tigers. And tigers are huge at the moment with kids.
Who's ever thus?
I don't know if this counts as a crime. So what I did was, the last time we did a book signing in a kid's bookshop, I had a little brainwave. I thought, if they start asking me for tigers again, I need a solution to this, because I'm drawing weird fat stripy cats, or they just look.
Why is he drawing Garfield in my book?
Why is he drawing Garfield? That's so 90s. That's so. Why is he expecting me to find it funny that a cat likes lasagna? That's not funny anymore.
I'm so sick of 90s ennui.
I spotted a copy of The Tiger That Came to Tea. Got a great picture of a tiger on the front. So what I did was I just nabbed it and just slipped it onto a bookshelf opposite where I was sitting.
This is a terrible admission.
Yeah. Let the tiger plagiarism commence. So I did a little... Wow. So whenever I had to do a tiger, I just had a quick look and just reminded myself. Because it's really hard to remember the stripe formations and stuff, and just the stuff to get it to work.
Have any of the children sort of turned around and realised what's happening? They're quite perceptive children.
They can be, can't they? But I haven't yet been rumbled. But I didn't. Does that count as plagiarism? Could that be the trial of the century? I don't think so. I think I'll be all right.
Could be, couldn't it? But it's not doing anything for your safety risk, assassination wise, I'd say.
No, it's true. Imagine if all the children in that queue stabbed me in a sort of Caesar way for my tiger plagiarism.
You'd deserve it.
I'd deserve it.
Okay, what do you make of, was there a second gunman in the book depository, whatever it was?
Also,
and what is a
book
depository?
And what is a grassy knoll? These two things only ever get referred to in relation to the JFK assassination. And what the fuck is the CIA? It's another. What are these things?
What is Cuba?
What is Cuba?
Cuba's not real.
Cuba can't be real. An island full of dancing communists doesn't make any sense. Do you remember? There was a period, I guess it was the 90s, when the JFK film came out,
yeah,
where the whole world...
The Costner Classic, the 18-hour Costner Classic. The
18-hour Costner Classic.
Yeah.
Featuring the magic bullet sequence, which has become quite legendary.
What's that?
Oh, the bit about it would have to be a magic bullet to, because of all the entry and exit wounds and stuff.
Right.
To have taken, but it's a classic filmic coup de théâtre courtroom moment where he pulls out a Nobbo flip chart. Assume it's a Nobbo.
Shoots it.
Draws a picture of JFK's face on it and then shoots it. he sort of proves that the bullet would have to have gone into the CIA agent's ear, then up JFK's nose.
Bounce off the grassy knoll.
Off the grassy knoll. Up Marilyn Monroe's arse. At the top of her head, they would have hit a CIA agent on his 1950s thick rimmed spectacles, and bounced back through J. Edgar Hoover's shin,
through Castro's spare cigar,
out the top of Castro's spare cigar,
lighting it on the way,
and into the top lip of a remarkable man, Mr. Elvis Aaron Presley. back through a vanilla
milkshake,
bubble tea,
a vanilla bubble tea, milk flavored milkshake,
through a Claire's accessories,
then popped itself onto the ferry to the Isle of Wight. Last service, so it has to stay the night there. An Airbnb, pops back over on Concord, makes its way back into the book depository. Into Lee Harvey Oswald's gun and then back out again, something.
So he's proving that it couldn't just be one gunman. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. For it to have been one gunman, yeah, the bullet would have to have done this like crazy.
So is the official version of events that there were two gunmen?
No, I don't think so. I think the official remains that it's solo Lee Harvey Oswald.
You think there is an official version of events? Wake up and smell the coffee.
Had JFK started getting into illustration? Is that what was that?
Well, he was about to, Ben. He never got to try, did he? Why? Because Quentin Blake had the Roald Dahl gig already sewn up.
He was trying to fuse quirky, whimsical British children's fiction with manga, I think, at the time.
Which would have conquered the world. It would have been so powerful. So around about the time of that film, everyone, there was just this like zeitgeisty obsession with the JFK and general like conspiracy theories. It comes around every so often. Obviously we're living through it again now, but there was a big phase of like obsession with conspiracy theories. Even Quantum Leap did a JFK double episode.
I never saw that.
Did you ever watch Quantum Leap?
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved Quantum Leap. I don't remember seeing a JFK one.
I love that theme tune. There's a brilliant, it's a double episode, JFK one, where I think he becomes Lee Harvey Oswald.
Lovely stuff.
Featuring Scott Bakula.
Yeah.
And Thingy as Ziggy. That really good actor as Ziggy.
Was he Ziggy, or is he the guy who talked about Ziggy? Wasn't Ziggy a sort of unseen presence?
Ziggy was an unseen presence. Such a good TV series. But
it's worth a revisit, I think.
But he does the... He goes into the body of Lee Harvey Oswald in an episode. I can't remember how it pans out, but it was very good.
Ooh.
But yeah, I sort of became a bit obsessed with it around the time of that film.
Did you try and crack the case?
I thought that maybe I could crack the case.
Because what's his face? The guy who did it got shot, right? Before he went to prison.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Allegedly got shot by Jack Ruby.
Jack Ruby.
He was a small-time gangster.
And people don't believe this because they would say, maybe it's the CIA did it, and then or maybe some Cubans did it, and then they shot him to cover up the...
It all gets incredibly complicated. I think the trouble is it gets so boring that no one can really face going through all the paperwork. it gets really heavy and boring. It's so complicated what's going on. There was so much skullduggery and levels of stuff going on. I suppose the only good thing about getting assassinated is for your legacy, it means that, you know, JFK gets to be like sort of like the coolest guy ever or the coolest president ever. No one can really have an issue with him because he didn't do what other politicians do, which is eventually start releasing shit albums. Do you know what I mean? He never had his frog chorus. Is that what it's called?
You're getting confused again between Paul McCartney and Gordon Brown.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's happening again. Sorry.
Okay, time for your emails. Instead of the email jingle that we usually play, we've got one from a listener.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm very excited about this one. We've had stuff from, this is from Lillian.
Mm-hmm.
Lillian has sent in stuff before. She is the professional violist.
Oh, yeah. Great.
And she says that she sent in a waltz for four violas.
Wow.
Blimey.
She says, I hope the narrative arc of the horseshoeing incident is clear, even without lyrics. No horses or robots were harmed in the recording of this jingle. Yours sincerely, Lillian. So, here we go.
Brilliant, Lillian.
Great gear change at the end. That was brilliant.
The first half of that really sounded like, to me, a sort of sitcom theme from the 90s for something like Waiting for God or, you know, those kind of...
What was the manner to the manor born? That kind of thing?
To the manor born, yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, it was very good.
I was picturing you, Ben, actually, for that first bit. I was picturing you just on the European diplomatic circuit, just elegant... You know, elegant ballrooms, dancing with a president's wife or whatever, like you
do. When velvet gowns.
Velvet gowns, chandeliers. And of course you, as we've discussed before, you're descended from Prussian aristocracy, aren't you, Ben? So you have that's wonderful grace and elegance when it comes to, you can dance to a waltz, can't you, with your eyes closed?
Yeah.
And it could be with Helmut Kohl's wife. Couldn't it?
Friar Cole, yes. Helmut Cole's niece.
Helmut Cole's maiden aunt.
Willy Brandt's granddaughter.
Yeah. And they'll feel like they're just getting into a warm bath, won't they? That's how it feels like being danced around by you, because your elegance, your grace, your speed of movement, but you move someone through the steps, you cover their mistakes,
yeah,
don't you, with a little shimmy of the feet,
all the while feeding them very small minty chocolates.
Yeah,
well, smints, yeah. all the while
chocolate smints,
feeding them chocolate smints that you have made for you, don't you, by
a chocolatier. Yeah.
So that's what I was picturing during that,
but then the music changed,
and then it changed because a plate of canapes has come in and you're like, fucking asparagus wrapped in ham again. Because you've got a canapé ennui.
Yeah.
Because you've just been fed so many canapés now.
And the Russian cultural attaché knows that, and that's why she sent those in.
Yeah.
To disrupt. Yeah.
Well, Lillian, thank you so much for that.
That was incredible.
I love that. Thanks, Lillian.
First email is from Lucy. The subject of this email is the first three-bean marriage. Hello, Beans. My husband and I might be the first three-bean salad podcast marriage.
Blimey.
Ooh.
On the 28th of April, 2022, I met my husband on a dating app. I wasn't looking for anything serious. I was done with dating. I just wanted someone to tell me I was pretty and give me a bit of a boost.
So I'm assuming this is on the Hot Beans dating app, is it? That we released last year.
Pinto Passions.
Yeah. Pinto Passions.
On my profile, I had some rather strong opinions about what I thought was funny. I was scrolling through the same message over and over. Hey, how are you? Hey, how was your day? I was bored silly, and I was on the verge of deleting the app altogether. Then, in my inbox, pops up this man named Lou with this message. Hey, check out Three Bean Salad Podcast. Bye.
Wow.
I mean, that's a really bold opening.
It's kind of bold opening
gambit
line,
on a dating app.
For a love gambit, it's a rarity.
What happened to the old, is that a bruise on your face? Because you just fell from heaven and knocked your head on the tree, the ugly, beautiful tree on the way down. I've forgotten what the...
What is that? What are you saying? Is that a bruise on your face or is that your face?
No, no. Are those wings on your back because you're an angel?
Or have you just got a really weird cut on your cardigan because it's poking out of your shoulder blades?
Or are you just a goose? Oh, no, you're a goose again. Sorry.
Am I a hunter because you're a fox?
Oh, dear.
Oh dear,
and I can smell that musky fox aroma.
Has someone messed up the cheese toasties? Because you're smoking hot. That's not bad, is it? How about this? A picture's worth 1,000 words, and in your case, it's a picture of the word sexy.
Yeah.
These are all lines, by the way, if you're listening, you can use.
And they're all available on the hot beans.
You just choose one, don't you, on the hot
beans? You choose one. You swipe up, and it gets sent to a random email within your address book, which you've shared with the app.
Or somebody using one of the same online banking apps as you.
That's right, yeah. And what's nice about it is that the new feature, which is gift me on my account system, whereby your bank details are shared with someone, and then they can buy you a gift for yourself from your own account.
Well, you get a free carriage clock from Omnibank.
That's right, yeah.
your account is drained.
But your account is drained, yeah.
But it's a lovely clock.
It's a lovely clock.
It's a lovely clock.
So she gets the opening line, hey, check out Three Bean Salad Podcast.
Okay, bold.
Pretty sexy.
Risky. Yeah. It's sexy.
Flirty.
But high, high, high risk. It's sort of saying, what's something that like only a few people like? Three bean salad.
Three bean salad.
It's a bit like saying, listen to the Three Bean Salad Pod, isn't it? Yeah.
Or go and play bridge.
Go and play bridge, and then let's have a chat.
Eat some kind of sort of fermented egg.
Yeah, yeah. Eat this 1,000-year-old fermented egg, and then let's have a chat.
So she writes, I actually wondered if this was some kind of strange marketing tactic. I Googled to see if the podcast was his, but no. It was three British comedians. Oh, by the way, Lucy's from Perth in Australia. So later that day, I gave your podcast a listen. It was the episode Maps, and I was sitting at work giggling at the intro about lights coming on in warehouses. I thought it was funny enough to thank the recommender. He replied telling me that he was making fried rice, and since then we've not stopped talking.
Mm.
On Saturday, the 11th of November, 2023, we were married!
What?
Good Lord.
And my wedding speech included mention of how his podcast recommendation is the reason we're together today!
My word.
Congratulations.
I hope you're proud. Comedians, podcasters, matchmakers. Lucy from Perth.
That's amazing.
That's cool.
That is
outstanding.
Very happy about that.
That's arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, letter we've ever had.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
A huge life event. How extraordinary.
And obviously, you know, you're under no pressure to have children, but if that is part of your plans, there is every chance that it will be an onion child. Just to let you know.
Yeah.
Don't be shocked when that birthmark is prominent and oniony on the child's face. Yeah. And you should be proud.
And follow the onion child's lead, because the onion child will know what to do. We're being very presumptuous here, but it is worth mentioning, you know.
Yeah.
Also, if you have children or a child, Mike Henry and Ben is a lovely name for a boy or a girl.
Mike Henry and Ben.
Mike Henry and Ben. Mike Henry and Ben, come on, it's time for barbecued prawns, mate.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, sorry.
You've just evaporated all the goodwill that we've got from Lucy's. Now just completely.
The whole of Western Australia.
Sorry,
Lucy. Now declared war on the podcast.
Apologies. Mike Henry and Ben, you got a walla walla on your leg. It's almost as big as a wobbler bobbler. Remember, you're trying to get in the barbecue now. Get in the barbecue now. Heat becomes your friend when you're up against a wibbler wobbler. You know that. Yeah, sure, eat one of the lovely plump moist prawns when you're in there. Sure, there's no reason not to. They're plump and moist, yeah, I know. Joke's on you. I'm actually a slabler slabler. I imitate the voice of your mother. Ah! That's not a prawn. It's one of my sisters.
Why do you think I've got four beaks, mate? Each one the size of a dinner plate, individually. Eh?
So thank you, Lucy. That's lovely. Congratulations to both of you.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Many congratulations.
And thanks for plugging us during the wedding speech. That's, you know.
It all helps. You've got to get out there. You've got to.
It does. It's about slowly building your audience. And people who are slightly bored and tuning out who are sitting towards the back of a wedding venue during the speeches is actually one of our core audience demographics.
Next email. Hi, Beans. This is from Lewis.
Hello, Lewis.
Hi, Lewis.
You discussed recently that the French nickname for English people is Les Ross Beefs.
Les Ross Beef.
Due to our ravenous need for a roast on a Sunday. I was recently overjoyed to find out in my Spanish class that the Spanish also have a tongue-in-cheek moniker for us, which is Los Cangrejos.
How do you spell it?
Cangrejos.
Cangrejos.
Cangrejos. Yeah, maybe it's that. Yeah. Los Cangrejos.
What is that?
Which you might know means the crabs.
Really?
No.
This is due to the pink and red tones the fairer skinned of us turn the instant we are introduced to any Spanish sun.
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh,
that's a good point.
I take it as the highest compliment that Spanish people think we are the closer to castanization than any other nationality. Yours in being, Lewis.
Thanks, Lewis. I really like that.
That's yeah, good.
I really like that.
I'm proud to be a cangrejos.
Yeah. I'd be interested to know if anyone else knows what we're known, you know.
Oh, that's good, yeah, other countries.
Portugal or Slovenia or wherever, really, if anyone else has got any...
I mean, there's probably some countries where it's less lighthearted than the crab or the roast beef.
It's possible. There are some parts of the world where Britain has not left a good mark. Yeah. That's true.
So Will emails, I'm pleased we got this email because this might be one of the few times we can play a jingle during a listener email.
Oh, yeah.
So here we go. I was recently working my way through your back catalogue, and truth be told, after two or three episodes on the trot, I needed a bean break. Which is fair enough.
Fair play. That's okay. We've been elevated by Lucy. We've been entertained by Lewis. It's time to level things out.
Yeah. We were getting a bit too big for our boots, weren't we?
Yeah.
He writes, I switched over to Radio 3, where they were playing Bach's Violin Concerto in A minor.
It's beans without language, isn't it? Bach. Bach is, it's beans without words, isn't it?
Unfortunately, due to a bizarre technical fault, for a few minutes I faced the strange prospect of my phone continually crossfading between short moments of Henry's lukewarm banter and excerpts of Bach, wow, as if the device had been taken over by an overzealous disc jockey.
That's quite a mix.
It's quite a place to be.
So, one moment I was listening to a performer producing mournful, whining, ear-piercing, highly strung, shrill, rasping, scratchy, and cat-like shrieking tones.
Okay.
And the next, I was listening to the violinist expertly navigating Bach's score. There we go.
Stuff, yes, Will. Come on.
Very,
come on. Absolutely lovely stuff.
Play the jingle.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the old switcheroo.
Okay, yes, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're saying that. What? Hang on, I thought you were trying to say.
Oh, he's gone the other. What? Oh, he's gone the other way around. He means that. Oh, that's what he meant. What? So, what he said before wasn't actually... I thought it... Now he's gone the other way around with it. Oh, God.
It's the old switcheroo.
Oh.
Executed to perfection.
That was...
If that was gymnastics, I'm holding up a 9.
Yeah. And can I say, if I was a Soviet-era gym teacher,
mm-hmm, yeah,
or head of the Olympic Soviet gym squad...
Minimal punishments for Will.
Minimal punishments for Will.
To the barracks. Yeah.
He's
Will's getting the full bowl of steroid gruel, isn't he, that night?
And you know what? To spoil him, tomorrow morning for breakfast, I'm going to allow him to eat one scrambled bean.
Oh, and maybe even show him a picture of a banana.
And I might even allow him to hear me saying the word Levi's. If he's really lucky.
He writes, thank you for listening to my switcheroo, Will from Glasgow.
Really nicely done. Well.
Such a well-executed switcheroo. The landing was perfect.
Oh. Yes. The setup was elegant.
The build, the degree of build was just so. You can overbuild and you can underbuild, but he... Yeah.
But we actually give as many points for the build, don't we, as for the landing, which people don't realise that, because people often worry about getting the landing to work. But if the build's good enough, we see what you intended with the landing, and you actually get points for that as well. So congratulations. You're through to the heats. So we'll send you...
Through to the pre-group heats.
You're through to the pre-group heats for...
Regional section.
Regional section for...
Medical testing.
So he gets sent, doesn't he? We'll send him out the...
The forms.
The forms.
And the applicator gloves. Yeah.
The applicator gloves. And one tube of the ointment, won't we? And it's a mixture of, well, put it this way, rather than paying to, like all other athletes have to pay to join pre-group heats for any major competition, the medical testing, the medical self-testing is seen as, it's in lieu of the payment.
Yeah.
So you based your face in the ointment.
Because of all the samples we take.
Because of all the samples. Yeah. But if you get yourself basted up, don't worry about, if it starts to feel crunchy, starts to feel carapacey, don't worry.
That's actually perfectly normal. And that's the perfect time to get yourself in the 6-foot jiffy bag that we also send you as part of the package. Yeah,
get yourself in there. And then just carry on living your life as normal, but just underground. Because the sun's rays will, they mess up the experiment, don't they?
Good advice.
Good luck.
Patreon.com/freebeansalad.
Thanks to everyone who signed up on our Patreon.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear more chat of us talking about this week's topic, or sometimes not talking about the topic, but certainly more chat.
Yeah.
The way to do that is to go to patreon.com/freebeansalad, where you can get access to our monthly bonus episode, ad-free episodes, and if you sign up at the Sean Bean tier, you get a shout-out from Mike from the Sean Bean Lounge, where Mike was last night.
I was as well.
And it was loud down there last night, wasn't it? Because you were taking part in the annual Sean Bean Lounge Boa War reenactment.
Oh, we were. Thank you, Ben. And here's my report.
Last night, the Bean Lounge saw its annual reenactment of the Boer War of 1899 to 1902, although Ollie Risby calls it the Second Freedom War of 1899 to 1902, and Sam Field calls it the Anglo-Boer War of South Africa of 1899 to 1602, and Mark Phippen calls it Billy Big Balls Gets in Some Tight Trousers, and Rob Hawkey accidentally called it Dad. Ryan Barrett came dressed as Robert Baden-Powell, commander of the British garrison at the Siege of Mafeking, who of course went on to found the Scout Movement with his sister Agnes, and was also believed to know up to, but not including, 7 different uses of the neckerchief. Mrs. SB performed a commemorative neckerchief multifunction dance in the Mazurka puppet style, and Ben Ross reenacted Agnes, despite her never having visited Africa or done any wars firsthand. Agnes Baden-Powell was, however, known for keeping bees within her bedroom, and this was memorialised in a sideshow reenactment by Christopher Donovan. Although Christopher could only find 8 bees, and one of them was stuffed, one of them was allergic to bees, and one of them was Ian Boyd dressed as a wasp. So to be rid of this disappointing spectacle, Cat sealed the whole scene up in a crate and floated it into lower orbit with a hot air balloon as part of a reenactment of Swedish loggers experimenting with balloons as a means of transporting timber in 1956, which happened to be booked for the same evening. Hannah Winter-Dewhurst and Linky were caught mid-reenactment playing ping-pong, and when challenged, claimed a ceasefire table tennis match had taken place between Boer commandos and the men of the Somerset Light Infantry in the spring of 1902 at Bloemfontein Leisure Centre. They failed to produce any historical evidence of this and had their paddles confiscated. It was then realised that Thomas A. and Matthew Bishop were reenacting the Battle of the Tugela Heights with toy lightsabers, that Dennis was dressed as a samurai, and that Hanno was attempting to build a life-size Spitfire from papier-mâché. Sean Bean sounded the emergency ignorance whistle, and the group was instructed to sit quietly and cross-legged, while James Hole was given a tenor and told to find an available and willing street historian. Thanks all.
Now to play us out and listen to a version of our theme tune sent in by Ed from Stratford-upon-Bremen.
Thank you, Ed.
He says, "Hi Beans, are you still going? I started listening this year as an ardent Chrono listener. I'm still in 2022.
Okay. Nice. Chrono listening is the way to do it, by the way.
Do you reckon?
I think so. I think, haven't we been told that by some people?
People who know what they're talking about.
I think that's probably true. I think either works, but there's enough that scruffy crap that keeps re-rearing its ugly head.
Exactly. But the way I think of it is this. Imagine you're sitting on a train next to 3 really loud, annoying bastards.
Yeah.
Right? It's annoying, isn't it?
That's the effect we're trying to engender.
But imagine if you could go back in time.
And you knew enough about their childhoods that you understood why they were like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
And you could at least sympathize.
And almost be one of them. Because that's the problem is, you know, go back in time with them and it's almost become part of them. That's how it works, I think.
Bernie, unfortunately for Ed, we are answering yes, but we are also answering his question in a future that he isn't going to reach for some time.
Oh, that's true. And by the time he's reached this bit of the future,
he might actually want to reply on email, but we're replying to it here. But that can't be helped now. That's just the way it is. Ed might reach this reply and have exactly the same question again a year from now.
And he'll never know, because he'll never catch up, probably.
No.
I don't feel he will catch up.
No, it can't be done.
It can't be done.
Ed writes, during the pandemic, I decided to get back into music. And as a provincial dad hobbyist, doing your theme tune seemed like a good idea at the time. So, armed with a keyboard and a laptop, I set to work. For some reason, whether it was the Regal Zone, being a staunch royalist, or probably the Champions League football, I thought your theme tune had a passing resemblance to Zadok the Priest.
Second Zadok mention of the podcast.
Second Zadok.
What are the chances? Yeah.
But also, how does the theme tune in any way sound like Zadok the Priest?
The Champions League theme tune sounds like Zadok the Priest.
Yeah, is but it? We don't use the Champions League theme tune as our theme.
And maybe that's where we've been going wrong.
Good point.
Yeah, that one. It's a really good one.
And Benjamin the Bean Machine.
Yeah.
He says, I bit off a bit more than I could chew, to be honest. It took a lot longer than the couple of hours I had to myself while the kids were out. Net result, I enforced a temporary estrangement from my wife and children. Brackets, well, for a weekend anyway.
Wow.
If I make the cut, on current trajectory, I should get to here sometime in late 24 or early 25.
Okay. Crumbs. Well, let's hope that was all worth it.
Yeah, well, good luck. I mean, we'll never meet in the same time space, will we, us?
No.
Because he'll be turning up to live shows that happened years before.
Yeah.
And it'll just be an empty room.
But I find it reassuring in a way to know that we're being trailed through time by him, particularly because, I mean, well, Henry, you often leave things behind, sort of keys and wallets and hats and stuff like that. So actually, could come in handy.
Yeah. Yeah, so if he does find anything, maybe he could... Yeah. He could pick it up.
Give it to your former self.
Of course, he'll never be able to give it to me in the present, though, will he?
No, just your past, Henry.
Yeah, just in the past.
Then past Henry gets a hat that you lost from 2025, but in 2023, which should actually be a bit ahead of its time, which quite suits you being a Londoner anyway.
Exactly. Nicely done. Good point. Of course, it'll be sad for him, won't it, when he listens to the podcast.
Oh, he discovers that the Queen's died. Oh, no.
It'll be a sad day for him, won't it, when he listens to the podcast where we go, where we start the podcast by saying, and of course, like all podcasts today, we are relaying the message, Britain is being deserted, Britain is going to sink into the sea, make your way to Dover, get to Dover. How far behind is he?
You've got 46 minutes.
He's about a year behind.
You've got 11 months. You've got 11 months to get to Dover.
But then he'll know by then, won't he? Because he's sunk into the sea.
What?
He'll have sunk into the sea, though, won't he?
What? Why? But he'll be listening. He'll look around and we're going, oh, bloody hell. I thought my flatmate looked a bit more like a guppy fish than usual. It's because I'm bloody underwater, mate.
Anyway, thank you, Ed. We'll play that out at the end. And thank you all for listening. Until next time.
Thank you very much.
Cheerio.
Bye.